Welcome to episode 4. Release the shame, reclaim your name. There is a part of living with HIV that medicine alone can never reach. Not because medicine has failed, but because the wound was never only biological. Some of the most devastating forces shaping our lives with HIV are emotional. And because they are emotional, they often are treated as personal weaknesses, instead of what they really are, responses to injuries, shame, internalized guilt, self-dislike, and inadequacy. These don't come from the virus, they come from what HIV has been meant to mean. This episode is about releasing that shame. Not by pretending that HIV does not exist, but by understanding how it works and how it quietly renames us. And it is about reclaiming your name. This episode is about making sure that you don't internalize the name that the system gave you. Not the one that stigma whispered. Not the one that still exists beneath all of that. This is Unmasked and Thriving, and my name is TD. I am your host. The first segment is about listening to the inner life. Over the last 6 months or so, I've realized something about my own internal life. When I feel irritable, I don't rush to fix whatever that irritated me. I sit with irritability and ask, what has been threatened? What has been unmet? What has been ignored? By me, of course, or by someone else. When I withdraw, for sometimes I do, I don't shame myself for disappearing. I become fully present in that withdrawal and ask what required distance, what needed protection. And when shame shows up without a clear reason, I no longer treat it as a verdict. I treat it as a pointer, inviting me into vulnerability, inviting me into some safe space. With someone safe, of course. Because these inner states are not failures, they are language. And most of us were never taught how to read that language. Let's name this clearly. Shame. Shame doesn't say you did something wrong. Shame says you are wrong. It collapses your whole identity into a diagnosis. It convinces you that visibility is dangerous and silence is safer. The second one is internalized guilt and regret. This is shame looking backward. It keeps people trapped in if-onlys. Rewriting complex histories of power, gender, fear, poverty, coercion and silence as personal moral failures. The third one is self-dislike and sometimes self-loathing. That's even worse. This is what happens when shame and guilt settle long enough to feel like identity. Care for the body becomes conditional. Love feels undeserved, and the future feels foreign. The next one is inadequacy. This is the emotion systems rely on most. It whispers, you must prove you deserve care. You must earn dignity through adherence, gratitude, compliance. Survival is enough. Don't ask for more. These emotions are not proof that someone is failing. They are evidence that dignity has been interrupted. So what restores dignity? Not lectures, not fear, not behavioral checklists. Shame is interrupted by witness. Shame weakens when someone sees you without fixing, correcting, or judging. One safe witness can do more than 1,000 slogans. Guilt is softened by context. Context doesn't erase responsibility. It restores humanity. It reminds us that people do not make choices in a vacuum. Self-loathing or healed through a rehumanization. Not forced positivity, but gentleness towards the body. Rest without punishment. Care without contempt. Inadequacy is challenged by entitlement to dignity, not arrogance, legitimacy, the right to respect, the right to love, the right to a future that is more than management. Here's the truth we often avoid saying. Shame is a renaming. It replaces your name with patient, risk, burden, case, failure. So reclaiming your name doesn't happen in one dramatic moment. It happens over time, and it happens every time you listen instead of condemning, speak instead of hiding, choosing curiosity over cruelty towards yourself. Shame says hide who you are so you can belong. Reclaiming your name says belong first and let who you are emerge. And this is where the conversation must move beyond the individual. Because if we know that shame, guilt, self-loathing, and inadequacy shape adherence, disclosure, mental health, and the very possibility of thriving, then any HIV response that ignores the interior life is incomplete. This is why I speak about a fourth 95. Not a technical target, but an ethical one. 95% of HIV programs shaped by the lived experiences of people living with HIV. Not consulted at the end, not included symbolically, but leading. Because people who live with HIV already know what makes adherence sustainable, what makes disclosure safe, what makes thriving imaginable. Thriving is not a viral suppression alone. Thriving is dignity restored, agency reclaimed, identity expanded beyond survival. In closing, you cannot shame someone into health. You cannot guilt someone into disclosure. You cannot discipline someone into thriving. But when dignity returns, care becomes self-respect. Disclosure becomes choice, and thriving becomes possible. This episode is an invitation to release what was never yours, to carry, to identify yourself differently, and to reclaim your name.
Thanks for joining us on Unmasked and Thriving. If this episode spoke to you, share it with someone carrying silent grief or sacred fire. Subscribe. Review. Come back next week. Come walk with us in the abundance, authority, and victory of eternal life.